before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were coming to the ship, or they that were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." For just a little while this morning, I want to preach to you on this thought: drowning in the middle of a miracle. Drowning in the middle of a miracle. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I need your help. Physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord, I need you. God, to uphold me by your power. God, gird me about with truth. Fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Let me preach to these people in an effective way, God, Lord. Overcome my feebleness and my frailty, Lord, and bypass, Lord, my inabilities. And do what only you can do. Change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to try not to keep you long this morning, but I want to get down to the point as quickly as I can. I want you to see some things in this text. Now, we know the story. We've heard the story about Jesus walking on water and all that stuff, and we've heard it preached 1,000 times, but I want you to see something that's very important that you don't miss. And number one, that's this: the initial desire of Jesus. Now, I want you, from the beginning of Matthew 14, Jesus was not trying to be in a situation that required him to perform a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean, preacher? From the very beginning of Matthew 14, all Jesus was trying to do was get a minute to himself. Go back and look me up right here. Even in the beginning of Matthew chapter 14, before he fed the 5,000, Jesus didn't go up into the mountain to preach to 5,000 people and feed them. He went up in the mountain to get alone with him and his Father. And they followed him there. Then after that was done and he had fed those people and taken care of them, look what your Bible says in verse number 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Jesus sent everybody away. He was trying to get a moment to himself. Y'all know what that feels like? You ever been in a situation where you just want to get a moment to yourself? Mamas, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about, he would not listen. You need to understand something. Jesus is God, and he is very God. He is 100% God. But when he was manifest in the flesh, he was also 100% man. And in that body of flesh, he understood that there were things that needed to be tended to. And all he wanted was to get along with his Father for a small amount of time. And so what he did, he sent the disciples ahead of him. Now, I don't want to get too deep off into this, but they weren't going on a long journey on the sea. Where they were going from one town to the next on the sea only required them to push out into the sea far enough that it would be deep enough for the boat not to have to worry about. Y'all fishermen know what I'm talking about. You want to get out there where you ain't going to run up on no stumps. You ain't going to get tied up in nothing. They just want to get out there far enough where they could catch the wind and move over to the next town, the port in the next area. And Jesus said, "Here's what I want y'all boys to do. Y'all get in the boat and carry the boat on to the next town, and I'll come on. I'll be there in some unknown amount of time. Y'all just go ahead and prepare everything for me. I'm going to get by myself for a little while. And when he got back to the mountain, he looked at the multitudes. He said, y'all eat, everything's good. Now go on back to the house. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. Amen. He says, time to go. Clear out. And when the evening came, here he was, finally found himself alone. Right where he wanted to be. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All the disciples had to do. This is, I love studying the disciples because they, this is going to sound bad, but hear me out right here. I love studying the disciples because they always mess everything up. He said, why would that make you love it? Because they're like me.
Amen.
They always mess everything up. They because they're clearly not Jesus.
Amen.
But they're trying to follow him. All they had to do was get in the boat. Now, just about every one of these guys were fishermen by trade. This wasn't their first trip on a boat. All they had to do is get in the boat, go to the next town. If you stood in the port of the town they were in, you could see where they were going from the port. That's all they had to do. Somehow, they couldn't even do that. They got out into the water, and everything went sideways. Look at verse 24. I like this because verse 23 ends with so much peace. They're on their way to the next town. Jesus was there alone. He was fixing to get his moment. Everything he had everything going like he's supposed to. Look at the beginning of verse 24. But the ship. Well, Jesus has finally got everything straightened out. But the ship. You know what? Them people was in that ship and they were messing it up. How'd they end up in that situation? Do you think, some of y'all have spent a lot of time on the water. I got family. I got a cousin that lives down in the coast. They spend a lot of time out in the sound. And there's been times when I've gone to him and I've said, man, let's go out here, go duck hunting or go fishing or whatever, and let's go out into the sound. I remember one specific time I got in the boat with him, and we started out of the canals there in the sound. And as soon as we hit the first little roller, the first little wave in the tide in the sound, he turned the boat around.
Yep.
He said, no, not today. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't understand. That was the first one. He said, we ain't even got out of the canal yet. I ain't going to get too far in explaining this to you, but the wind was pointing in the wrong direction. Things was going to get ugly. These fellas knew better than to end up in the situation that they were in. But, yet, here they were. Y'all ever felt like that? You trying to do something for the Lord, and all of a sudden you go to messing everything up, and you're thinking, man, I knew better. I knew better than to end up in this situation. Here we are. The initial desire of Jesus was for them to go on ahead, but hear me out right here. I want you to remember this. Even when the master wasn't supposed to have to be looking out for the disciples, he had set them on a course and turned them loose.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's that fourth watch, that's 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's as dark as it gets.
Yes, it is.
You can't see nothing in the fourth watch. Are y'all with me? Check this out. Jesus went unto them. Even when he wasn't supposed to have to be looking over their shoulder, listen to me, church. When he had set them on a course, give them all the information they needed, and all they had to do was follow through with it. They shouldn't have needed him. He shouldn't have had to break away from what he was doing. Even in that situation, Jesus still had his eye on them.
Amen.
Jesus still knew exactly what they were going through. Even in a situation where they were bearing the responsibility, Jesus still felt the responsibility to take care of them and to watch over them. And he knew when nobody else could have known what they were going through, Jesus still knew what was going on with them.
Amen.
Then I want you to see this, the miraculous happening. This is really amazing. Because I think we miss the biggest part of the miracle right here.
I'm not really interested in talking to you this morning about the fact that Jesus walked on water. Hear me out. That's a miracle. It's amazing. Defies the laws of physics and nature. But does that really shock us that Jesus has the ability to walk on water? This is a man who had already raised dead people back to life. Who had already opened blinded eyes. Who had already walked up to cripples that had been laying on the ground. And said, you can get up now, it's time to go home. This is a being, an entity that obviously had miraculous power. For him to be able to walk on water, although it was amazing, it was not necessarily shocking.
Amen.
Of course Jesus can walk on water. He's Jesus.
Right.
He's supposed to be able to do that. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
But in verse 29, look at this. And he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now,
this miracle is shocking. For one thing, Peter, I don't know how to say this in no other way, was a total screw up. Remember when I said they couldn't do nothing right? Peter was the king that can't do nothing right. Peter was... Peter invented the phrase putting your foot in your mouth. That his picture's beside that in the dictionary. Peter couldn't accomplish nothing without doing something stupid in the midst of all of what he'd done. Are y'all listening to me? Does that sound like me to me, I'll be honest with you. And see, I mean, every time I think I got it figured out, I do something stupid. That's Peter. That's why I like Peter. Peter was not somebody who you would look at and say, this is going to be the guy that's going to walk on water.
Amen.
This one, he's the guy. I mean, think about it. He was doubtful all the time, always questioning Jesus.
Amen.
He overstepped his boundaries over and over and over again. He tried to tell Jesus how to do Jesus stuff. They up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And after Moses and Elijah had gone back to glory, he looks at Jesus and he says, whoa, we can't walk away from here. We need to build a church right here, son. He's going to tell Jesus how to do it. He's going to tell Jesus what he needs to know. This is Peter. But he's the one walking on water.
Let me say this. If the power of God was based solely on us having everything right and having everything together and doing everything right and being perfectly in line with everything that Jesus ever said, Peter would not have ever made it off the side of that boat.
Amen.
Listen to me, church, because if you're not careful, you'll get in your mind that the only way that you can have power with God is to be the most perfect person that ever walked the earth. But here's what I want to say. He's the most perfect person that's ever walked the earth, and he's the one that looked at Peter, the screw-up, the mess-up, the crazy one, and he said, hey, come on out of the boat. The power of God in your life is not based on your perfection. It's based on his perfection.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Because I tell you what will happen to you. You'll get paralyzed by fear based on your own shortcomings. And you'll stop in your tracks because you don't think that you're worthy and you don't think that you're able. But I came in here to tell you this morning that you're not worthy and you're not able. But you're also not the one that's in control.
Amen.
Apparently, Jesus has enough power to overcome how powerless we really are.
Amen.
Apparently, Jesus knows how to do what he's doing. Because here come Peter out off the side of the boat. It hadn't been one verse before this, Peter was questioning him.
Right.
Peter was questioning his very reality. Peter said, are you really him? He looked, look at your Bible. Peter looked at Jesus. He said, if it's really you, he challenged him. If it's really you, tell me to come off the boat. If it's really you, let me walk on the water.
Yep.
Jesus said, all right, then, come on.
Here come Peter off the side of the boat.
Are y'all with me? Say amen. I'm already almost done. Peter was experiencing one of the greatest miracles that I believe any human being ever experienced because of its uniqueness. Mm-hmm. There's been multiple people raised from the dead, lots of people raised from the dead in the Bible. There's been blind eyes healed at multiple recorded in Scripture. No telling how many there was actually happened. I'm talking about deaf ears unstopped. Are y'all listening to me? Mm-hmm. Cripples healed, all types of diseases, devils cast out. Everything you can think of has been done. But that I know of, I'm not a Bible scholar, but that I know of, there's only ever been one man, 100% human being, that stepped his foot on top of a lake and walked on it.
Amen.
And that was Peter. I'm talking about experiencing a miracle so unique, nobody in his life was ever going to be able to relate to this.
Amen.
When Peter said, "Do you know how it feels to walk on water?" Everybody in the crowd said no. Because they didn't. This is amazing. This is unique. This is mind-boggling. Can you imagine what it felt like to step onto the surface of a sea and it become ground for you to walk on? I don't even understand how that works, but I know it happened.
Amen, amen.
There's only two sets of feet ever walked on water, y'all. That's Jesus's and Peter's. Mm-hmm. Then I want you to see this. The mistake in the miracle. Look at verse 30. Now Peter's out here walking on the water, headed toward Jesus. But verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me."
I know this ain't deep this morning, but I'm telling you, this is going to help somebody. Ain't this just how it is right here? Peter's in the midst of the greatest miracle ever a human being performed. And he loses focus almost immediately.
Everything's going right. It don't get no more right than you're on top of the water and you ain't sinking.
Amen.
That's as right as it can possibly be. Everything is going, and Jesus is standing in front of him saying, "Come on over here with me." Everything is going perfectly. And he starts looking around at what's coming against him. I want you to notice something in your text. The storm did not take Peter under. The wind did not blow Peter over. The waves did not overlap him and overcome him. As far as we can tell, Peter was never in any danger of the elements coming against him. I don't really know how that works. I don't really understand it. Maybe Jesus just parted a little area there and made it smooth for Peter. Or somehow Jesus had created an environment where Peter was not in danger from the forces that had been coming against him. There was nothing going to hurt Peter as long as he was on his way to Jesus, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But there was a storm around, and there was some lightning flashing and some thunder booming and some waves rolling, and that's where Peter's focus went. And on the way to fulfilling of the miracle that was going on, Peter gets to looking around and he said, "Man, it's bad out there." And the miraculous act that he had walked into now began to seem to him like a disaster.
Amen.
This miracle that he was taking part in now began to seem like a mistake. Instead of feeling like he was doing something amazing, Satan had convinced Peter that he had gone too far and that he should have just stayed out of it. He should have just stayed in the boat. Hey, some of y'all that have accomplished some things for God in your life know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes I get out into something for God and I take a step
step of faith, and I know I'm on the right track, and all of a sudden I get to looking around and I think, wait a minute, have I gone too far? Have I done too much? Have I said too much? Have I put myself in a situation? Peter's thinking, have I done what I've done so many times before and stuck my foot in my mouth and messed myself up? Is this because of my... Here's what the devil will tell you when God begins to raise you up. He'll tell you it's just because of your pride that you feel like things are going good. It's just because of your arrogance that you feel like that God's working in your life. Hey, listen to me. He'll try to get your eyes on every external circumstance that's going on around you. Can I tell you something? The world's going bad. The country's going bad. The government's messed up and the inflation's high. Hey, listen, there may come a time when things get scarce around here because of the environment that we're living in. But God ain't stopped being God. And Jesus still has the power to overcome the things of this world.
Here's what I find interesting. All this is going on.
Peter gets to looking around at the external factors that are against him. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, but Jesus don't go nowhere. He's still right there. Matter of fact, he's so close by that when Peter realizes his mistake and calls on Jesus to save him, he immediately caught hold of him. You got to be close to somebody to reach down and grab their hand while they're sinking in the water. Jesus hadn't gone nowhere. He never left. He never walked away. Hey, listen, if it was me, and I said, all right, Peter, come on. You come on the water to me. And he got about halfway there, and he started to sink. I said, well, that didn't work. I better go find somebody else that's worthy of this thing. But Jesus never walked away. He never left. He stayed right there with him. Even when Peter messed up, do you understand that Peter was drowning in the middle of a miracle? He had messed up. Right when God was working in his life the most, he had found a way to mess it up. But Jesus was still there. He was standing in the storm, on the same waves, in the same darkness, in the same winds, in the same waters. The same one that got Peter out of the boat and onto the water is the same one that was going to get Peter out of the water and back on the boat. Some of y'all are looking around and you say, well, I messed it up now. God was working in my life, and things were going good, and I've done found a way to mess it up, and I don't know how to get out. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. The same one that got you out of the boat is the same one that'll get you back in the boat and get you where you're supposed to be. Are y'all listening to me this morning?
The reason Jesus could catch him, look what your Bible says, verse 31. And immediately, I like that. I could preach for 4.5 hours on that phrase, and immediately. Not later on, not after it was convenient. Not once Peter started to drown. Not once he cast a spell on him. Are y'all listening to me? He didn't have to go get the Coast Guard, rescue squad, lifeboat, helicopter. I'm talking about there was no life preservers involved. Immediately. Right then, when Peter said, Lord, save me. Jesus said, all right. Look what your Bible says now. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him.
I'm fixing to quit, but hear me right here. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Are y'all listening real good? We're going to go eat lunch early, but I'm fixing to give you what I came to give you this morning. The reason why Jesus had the ability to catch Peter by the hand and pull him out of the water is because the thing that was pulling him down was the thing that Jesus was standing on top of. Amen. The same thing that was against Peter was the thing that Jesus had conquered and destroyed. The same sea that got Peter couldn't get him because he was standing on top of it. Are y'all listening to me? The same thing that's pulling you down and you feel like you're in a mess and you can't overcome it, he can overcome it. It ain't got a hold of him. It ain't got beyond him. It ain't more powerful than him. There ain't no waves of this world that can overcome him. He's standing on top of the trouble while you're sinking, and then let me tell you something, he is perfectly positioned to pull you out.
Amen. Yes.
Listen to me, church. Peter walked away from this incident, and you say, man, what a mistake, what a mess. I'm just going to say this and I'm going to close, because I'm thinking about this thing.
because I've been where Peter's at to a smaller extent. I ain't never walked on water, but I've seen God do some mighty amazing things. And most of the time when I get in those situations, at some point in there, I feel like I have really dropped the ball now. God has given me this thing on a silver platter, and I forgot where I set it down. I'm just being honest with you. In the ministry, that's the feeling a lot of times. I remember, I don't want to get off track here. I remember when we planted Down East Baptist Church. Listen, from the first moment of its inception, God was all over it. I'm telling you, God was in it. And then I remember we found us a place to have church. And I'm talking about it was amazing. God put this thing together. And we did everything that we knew how to do to get ready for it. And we paid the rent, and we paid the first and last month's rent, and we paid everything. We bought the chairs, and we bought the stuff and all that needed to be done. I remember we had like less than $100 left. And I looked at them. We hadn't had the first service yet. I didn't know who was coming, if anybody was coming. The only thing I knew for sure was my wife and youngest were coming, unless they decided not to. That's what I had with me. And listen, by that time, we had already lost at least one that was with us from the beginning before we ever had a first service. They walked away. Told us, we're going to back you. We're going to be there with you. I still ain't seen them in church. Are you listening now? And I'm looking around, and we got like $60 to our name. I'm broke as a convict. Everybody else is tapped out. And I done told this lady we're going to pay rent on this building every month. We done bought all this stuff, set up a sanctuary. And let me tell you something. That Sunday morning, before that service, I felt about this tall. I felt like, Lord, what have I done? Have I made a mess of this? Have I made a mistake? Hey, y'all think the devil don't get on the preacher? Y'all better listen to me. I thought, Lord, I thought we was on the right track here. I know, God, I know this is what you told us to do. But I'm looking around, and I'm starting to get, y'all, here's what it's like to be the preacher. I'm starting to get text messages about 8:30 Sunday morning. I ain't going to make it today. Hope y'all have a good first service. Praying for y'all. I ain't going to be there, but I'm praying for you. Y'all listening? And I remember sitting in that church, in that little storefront, and thinking, Lord, I feel like I'm sinking. What are we going to do? You know what I didn't realize? There was never a point in that process where God wasn't in control of this
Amen.
Thing.
Amen.
The world had overwhelmed me through that process, but it didn't overwhelm him. I know what it feels like to step out of the boat and take a leap of faith. And I'm hung up right here. I'm preaching to myself now. Y'all can listen if you want to. Hey, listen. Here's some things I know about that. Even though I wasn't there and this wasn't recorded, I know because I know people. I guarantee you there were some people sitting in that boat. There was 11 other men in that boat at least. That's if there was no other crew involved. And I think there probably was because the Bible says that the men on the ship came and worshipped him. He didn't call them the disciples. So there's probably more than just them. These men on this boat, let me promise you something that I know. When Peter stepped out on that water, there was at least one, but probably more, sitting on that boat looking at Peter saying something like this, look at that fool. He really thinks he's going to be able to do this. He really thinks that he's got it all figured out. He thinks he's better than us. Look at Peter walking on the water. Ain't he something? Are y'all listening to me? Sound like church people to me. That's what I'm saying, man, right there. Look at Peter. He thinks he's having some success. He must be doing something underhanded. Church people talk about preachers the same way that the Pharisees talk about Jesus when they said that he was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. Church people say stuff like this. Things going well for the preacher. Well, he must be doing something he ain't supposed to be doing. Something going up. Somebody in the church is having good success in their life. God's working. I wonder what they must be selling drugs on the side.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I guarantee you there was someone sitting in that boat saying, Peter, you've lost your mind. What are you doing? Get back in the boat, Peter, you're going to drown.
I know about it. The first person that I ever revealed to that I wanted to plant a church, that God had put in my heart to plant a church in this area, basically told me I was crazy. I can tell you exactly what he said. I remember just like it was yesterday. He said, all these churches around here that need pastors need help. Why in the world would you want to plant a church? I'm hand of God. I'm still friends with him right now. He ate them words eventually, but we ain't going to get into all that. But listen, I'm dead serious. If he was here, he'd testify to it, I guarantee you. You say, how did that make you feel? Like a fool. I'm being honest with you. You say, you shouldn't let stuff like that affect you, preacher. Hey, listen, there's a lot of things you shouldn't let affect you, but you do. Hey. Say, what did Peter do? Well, Peter messed up some. He had to get rescued there for a minute. I tell you what he did. I tell you, when Peter was hanging out with his buddies a few years later, and they was talking about what happened, when Peter, I don't know if Peter had grandkids. I know Peter had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. So I say amen right there. You can't have a mother-in-law without a wife. And Peter, when Peter was sitting with his grandkids, and they said something like this, Granddaddy Pete. Peepaw. Tell us how it was when Jesus was here. Tell us about when he walked on the water. I bet you Peter didn't say, well, I screwed that up. I bet he said, listen, youngins, I remember how the water felt under my feet. I thought it was going to be soft. I thought my foot was going to sink through. But I just took another step. Hey, things got a little squirrely there for a minute. But Jesus never did get under the surface. I guarantee you, I'm trying to encourage you to do something for God. Because listen, you're going to mess up things up, and you're going to get sideways, and you might have to get rescued in there somewhere. And you might have, there's been so many times since God started working in this work in my life, and I found myself laid up under this altar saying, Lord, I've dropped the ball. Lord, I've messed it up. Help me. I need you to, Lord, like Peter said, Lord, save me. But I want to say this. I've never one time have I ever looked for him, and he wasn't standing on top of the sea. There ain't never been one time when he wasn't right there. Like the Bible says, the Lord is at hand, and he wasn't able to catch me and bring me out.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I'm drowning. Well, I got good news for you. The lifeguard's on duty.
Amen.
I want you to stand together, heads are